So let's start our administration committee meeting. Wednesday, November 21st, 2018, 6 o'clock. We have myself, Alderman Olszewski, Alderman Funkhauser, Alderman Closter, and Alderman Hernandez, and we have staff at the meeting. So any citizens' comments? Okay. Minutes for correction and or approval from January 17th, 2018. Comments, questions on the minutes? We'll take them and then as provided. New business one, admin 2018-08, monthly budget report for January 2018.
Okay, so I'm going to speak more in generalities rather than to the specific budget report. Because the budget report, the figures get moved around as compared to the audit. We are wrapping up the budget memo tonight for either distribution tonight or tomorrow. The gist of it is that, and we've been talking about it here a little bit, that sales taxes are underperforming our expectations. So we're budgeting for 3% year over year going forward, and we expect to only see about 0.8% growth year over year. So we're going to be close to our budgeted figure, we hope, the main variable in that discussion is still the holiday sales, which are going to be reported on 2 weeks from now. So if we have a particularly good holiday season for consumer sales, that number could not be an issue. But if it's 0.8% higher than it was the year before, that's another indicator that either our revenue assumptions have been too high or we had a spike last year and things are regressing more towards the mean. So across the board, too, income taxes, not really anything that's off of what the IML had assumed, as much as when you look at it on a fiscal year basis, they decreased distributions to us by 10% per month, even though they accelerated payments. So that has a budgetary impact on us, too, not necessarily a cash flow. Our main revenue streams are a little tenuous and underperforming our expectations, which isn't good. But on the other hand, you've got revenues like building permits, which are higher than we expected, but those are always one-time revenues, and we've ended the build program going into next year. Just some other minor revenue streams that are a little bit harder to predict and less important just because they're less money. So that's something that we're monitoring. And the budget memo is going to say we don't need to go out and stop projects and do a whole bunch of service cuts. We're well positioned with a fund balance to be able to say we've got a couple indicators that we need to hit. Holiday sales, our fiscal year end audit, which will be known probably in August through September. And then at that point, if things underperform or if, the national economy goes downhill, we'll need to say then we've got a few months basically to lay out policy options, discuss them, and then make some decisions for the fiscal year 20 budget. So we're not necessarily recommending any drastic action or even deferrals at this point. It's just, we have the foresight and the cushion to be able to say, a year out from now, we could be having a difficult discussion if things don't go well, but we'll see. So with that being said, across the board, the departments are generally in line or under with what we're budgeting, so that shouldn't be an issue. And revenues are going to be modestly higher on the whole. They're just based on building permits and some other one-time revenues. So that's the overall picture in a nutshell, and then if anybody has any questions about individual line items, we're happy to answer them.
Comments, questions? Good. Okay, so do we have to send that in or is it right there?
No.
It's just that question.
Correct.
Okay, so let's go. It does say right there, information. Sorry. Admin 2018-09 monthly treasurer's report for January 2018.
All right. Beginning fund balance, $13,642,346. Year-to-date revenues of $23,385,088. Year-to-date expenses of $25,839,785. for a projected ending fund balance of $11,187,649.
Any questions on that? All right. So that goes on consent. Okay. All right. 3, admin 2018-10 cash statements for December 2017.
Informational as always. Our cash balances are on the first page and the investment balances are on the second.
Comments or questions on those? All right. Then we'll go to 4, admin 2018-11 bills for payment. Comments or questions on the bills? Okay, we're good with that. To 5, admin 2018-12 monthly website report for January 2018.
So in your packet you have several bits of information regarding the website and our social media outlets. You can see we're doing a rolling total now of 12 months of data for total visits. We have a nice spike in January. A lot of that's due to winter weather that we've experienced, so a lot of people look at the website for what is going on and what is closed and if garbage is running on time or if it's delayed. But we do like to see that number continuously growing or at least staying at a steady pace there. The visits by time of day, the charts aren't as clear as possible, so I may switch to the charts in Bing or Google Analytics for next month. But you can see Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday are a high visit day, and then around the noon hour into early evening is also the time where most people are hitting up our website. You see the website stats on the third page there for November, December, and January. We're getting lots of hits on our homepage. That's what we like to see, and also on utility payments and Parks and Rec for their new facility classes being offered, especially in January. We had a lot of new fitness classes that were started at the first of the year. You see the top 5 downloads was Anthony Place Senior Apartment Application. We really pushed that on social media as well. We paid for that to be a boosted post, and you'll see it paid off in putting that extra dollars towards that. And then we also had soccer and baseball registration start this month, so that was a high download. Searches, jobs is always in the top, and then soccer and our survey, which was wrapped up. It closed out last week. Our website refers, we have Facebook, eJobs running in the USA, and then 2 search engines that refer people to the city's website. On the 4th page, you have our social media data. We did pay for a boosted post for the Anthony's Place Yorkville Senior Housing. That was a $50 investment, and it reached 11,551 people. So we think that was well worth the money spent. Parks and Rec, like I said, their fitness classes really did have a good following in January. Their highest viewed post was the Join Crystal and Core de Force this winter, and that's at the Van Emmon Activity Center. We're always growing, too, in followers and in both Facebook and Twitter, so I just want to look at that to make sure that maintains. We're posting a lot more information and a lot more often, so I just want to see how that increases our followership, viewership. Does anybody have any questions?
What's that true and for searches?
So I've done true into Google, and I've done true into our website. It must be some kind of generator. It's not really clear to me what pulls up or who puts it in.
It's interesting.
It's very interesting, and you see in the past, it's always on there.
Yeah, 3, 2, and 1.
Correct. And it's also listed in Bing and Google.
So maybe it's something to do with, like, a calendar function or some sort of auto-generated.
That's what I'm thinking. It must be auto-generated somehow by some thing. Yeah, if you have any insight into that.
I'll look up. Okay. I'm
Googled
curious,
it.
So
yeah, you got
might
it.
Have to do a little poking around.
Okay.
Because I know that, and you know, with our analytics, sometimes you get bots.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be, you know, just an infiltration of bots that are hitting the website and just, for whatever reason, searching true.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments or questions? right. Let's go to admin 2018-13, fiscal year 18 budget amendment for the general fund.
This amendment would increase the CanCon line item by $40,975 to from $78,584 to about $120,000, so it'll be $119,559. Part of the reason for the increase was known. About $20,000 was for additional New World costs, which City Council approved that intergovernmental agreement, I believe, back in January 23rd. The other $20,000 was unanticipated. It was due to the dispatch fees, which have increased, pretty substantially from last year, about 27%. The average is about 25, so a little bit above the average, but we're in line with Oswego. The main driver behind their budgeted increase has to do mainly with legal conference leads and their internet utility line item. They also budget a contingency of about $41,000, which is, I believe, 1.5% of their budget operating expenditures, and that's just pursuant to their budget procedures over at KenCom. Again, the reason it's difficult to anticipate what the dispatch fees will be because they have a different, much different fiscal year than we do. I believe it runs November through December. And by the time, we're aware of what that budget number would be for dispatch, our current fiscal year is about half over. So what we've done going forward is we've taken that new base, that $95,000. We'll be increasing that by about 5% per annum. And you'll see that in the budget document coming out. And then along with the New World costs, which we do know, and we'll also include those in the budget as well.
Comments and questions on this?
So I know Rich had said that they're looking into redoing all the police agencies are, how they generate tickets and call into KenCom to reduce the overall call volume with the hopes of, reducing our individual share. If all of us do it equally, then our piece of the pie probably won't change. But if I remember correctly, I think Oswego and Yorkville tend to call in to dispatch a little differently than some of the smaller entities do. And then the second thing is going forward, we'll actually probably have to change our assumption because the county board's commitment is fixed, and then there's the sharing of the percentage. So since that's fixed, we're actually going to be taking on a greater burden of the total KenCom budget for a number of years until that county board fixed amount is a minor part of the budget. So for each percentage point of increase in their budget, we probably actually have a larger share than what we're budgeting. So that's something we'll need to fix. And so that's why, even though their budget only went up 4%, it ends up increasing our contribution from $70,000 to about $90,000. And so, we probably will see $5,000 or $10,000, is my guess, per year going forward.
But that wasn't a factor in this year's budget because last year's budget was $1.775 million, and this year's is the same. So that wasn't a factor, the fact that Kendall County has a fixed rate.
It's a factor in that because that's fixed, any increase in the overall budget proportionally affects us.
And there are only a couple of line items that are large increases on their budget. And I'm just surprised we didn't see this one coming because I know when they actually do the budget, and we should have had a little better notice than this month, or last month, I should say.
Yeah, I think they actually ended up talking about it at their November meeting, and we didn't have a representative there, and then our other representatives that are on different committees weren't aware of it either. So they sent us the invoice, and I said, well, this is a little bit higher than what we had budgeted for. How did this happen? So that's the issue there, is we should have had probably 2 months better notice, which we could have.
Because I know the whole New World thing, that started back in May. They actually authorized that contract in June. So that was just our process because we didn't get it into committee for 6 months.
Yes.
But this one, we should have known about that. Our board rep or our committee reps should have had a better handle on that. So this is what it is. It's not our percentage is the same as what it's been historically, because they run our percentage on a 3-year rolling average.
Yep.
It's just, it's an increase, which is a pretty substantial increase for us.
Yeah.
That's new technology. Nothing we can do about it. I don't have an issue with it.
Any other comments or questions? Okay, we'll get on consent agenda.
Doesn't that need a supermajority? Yeah.
You're right,
it does. You can put it on consent agenda even though it needs a supermajority. Just for some reason, if other agenda items become controversial on consent, then... Because typically consent agenda items are unanimous anyway, so...
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
The legal threshold is fine.
All right. So now we're on admin 2018-14, fiscal year 18 budget amendment for parks and recreation and land cash. I see Tim, sir.
Yeah, there's a long memo in here from Tim, and I think Rob had contributed it too. Just about similar to last year, Tim's budget is a little bit better than we expected on both sides of the ledger. And so he had recommended knocking off some capital expenditures and then still staying within his approved deficit budget amount. So some of the items, it's advantageous for us to purchase sooner rather than later. Some we probably could hold on until end of the fiscal year to see if things take a turn for the worse in the next month or two. And then he can approve them like, you know, the last couple weeks of April and still get it in within the fiscal year. So when we drafted the memo for this, the budget hadn't been completed. And so we firmed up those numbers. And so despite what the budget memo will say, with just, you know, trying to look at things over the next few months, I'm okay with the budget amendment, just knowing that some of the things we may end up deferring as a result of it. So there are modest impacts, and I know, like, the Purcell Playground is going to get ripped out in spring anyway because of its deterioration. So we didn't want to be caught, you know, with no playground there for too long. So we felt that was important enough.
Comments or questions on this?
My only comment is I think it's known that I prefer not to do budget amendments right at the end if it's something that can be deferred to the next budget. In this case, I would prefer us to not do everything here, but to do it to where we actually have a positive balance. You know, we were targeting a deficit of $77,000. Now we're looking at, you know, being if we don't do anything, they're positive on the balance. Mm-hmm. I would like us to try to stay positive on the balance. So if there's one or two items that needs to come off, we defer. I would rather do that budgetarily. I'd rather not. I basically what I'm saying is I'd rather us be in a positive position on this one instead of continuing the deficit spend. Even though I know it's, you know, a major beneficial impact from the operations of the department, I think it would just be better to be in a positive cash flow for this one and then defer it, you know, work it to the next, to the new fiscal budget. That's my position.
Anybody else?
I'm okay with passing on.
So it's, that can go on the consent agenda?
It can, yes.
Let's do that though.
It could go on.
Is that where you want it?
Do you want it?
If you put it on consent, I won't vote for it.
Okay, then take
but
it.
Okay. And that, because that impacts the prior item.
Yes, so regular agenda.
Okay.
That works. Thanks.
And then 2018-15 Metronet agreement.
Yeah, we've got an agreement finally. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, we did pass out the map. Which is their initial draft of Exhibit A. Possible it could change. Similar to all the other Metronet agreements, too, there are some qualifiers in there, so it's not a full, normal, initial, you know, cable build-out where they're committing to build 100% of the entire town. And there's radio requirements. So, you know, Comcast was, I think, 30 years ago at this point, probably. And so... The agreement is actually based off the Comcast model. It has a lot of the same provisions. One of the significant differences is in the build-out requirement, it's not a linear mile and so many customers within it. It's actually a demand-based model, and it's radial. So if you have a certain amount of customers within a radius that request the service on a Metronet website, they will commit to building it out. So they don't have to, so it is certainly a little bit less burdensome. But the way they've described it to us and the way that it's worked in practice in other towns is that's kind of their minimum threshold for making their money back. And so, you know, if they've got 15 people within a radius that want to want service, they would be crazy not to extend it to that place. So there is a public hearing next week on this. They are asking for a vote on March 13th. Obviously, they prefer it as soon as possible. Talked to a Comcast rep today. They did receive our notification to them. They have not objected to any of the provisions in the agreement in other towns, so I don't think it'll be an issue here. And quite frankly, if they came to us and said we want similar terms on build-out or anything, I think that we would listen to them. So I don't know if there was anything else I kind of...
Perfect.
I took that brand with it.
Comments or questions on this one?
What's our franchise agreement percentage?
It is 5%. And then the Comcast one ended up being 53 cents per user per month for a peg fee. And I think we negotiated the same here.
It matches.
Okay. So they're both the same regardless. Okay. That's why I wanted to just double check. I didn't go through any detail of the contract because you said it was virtually identical. Minus a few that were pulled out. The one comment that was up there on the Section 6 transfer, what type of things would they be looking for, that 6.4, within 30 days after receiving your request for consent, city shall approve it, basically? What would they be asking for?
That's just their standard language.
Standard language?
They ever sell.
So, to somebody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think... We looked at so many agreements, Plainfield's, Oswego, and North Aurora's. Mm-hmm. I don't remember which ones those are in, but it wasn't a couple of the other ones, and we didn't see an issue with it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because it's just, it's a default clause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we fail, right, it's automatic. Okay, but I didn't know what it would be referring to.
Sure.
Anybody
else?
Any reason they left Autumn Creek there?
Well, they didn't confirm individual subdivisions.
What was that?
They didn't confirm like reasons for individual subdivisions, but in general, they did look at cost to install. So the fact that that is wrapping up with construction makes it more expensive for them. Existing Comcast penetration and AT&T U-verse just saturation in that area. And then additionally, just geographic location. I think they're actually going to be connecting in through Grand Reserve, so the fact that they've skipped over that and Bristol Bay could be that I know that they were concerned that AT&T is laying fiber in some areas, so that makes it a little bit less lucrative for them too. So they didn't go through and give us recommendations, but every subdivision that they didn't catch, we gave them the building permit data and the outlook for the next few years and said, we expect that you're going to have a pretty significant demand from each subdivision. So, obviously we prefer that map would be bigger rather than smaller.
We're missing Bristol Bay, Caledonia, Autumn Creek, Blackberry Woods.
Portions of... Ashley Point.
That's the southern part of that. Mm-hmm. So most of this of our community is covered.
Ashley Point's way out there.
It is, but they're...
But it's new construction, and they love
new construction. So they'll have the infrastructure there
yeah.
if it comes out.
Yeah.
If they start building.
Are we going to request, or do we think we will request having the service automatically brought to the municipal buildings? Because I know the language is in there that it's not automatic, but we have to request it.
I would think so, just to have, another option there. So, in the future, if the channel packages were better or the quality was better, we might want that. So,
is it something using their line that they would do direct connections for fiber from our buildings, one to another, for speed of systems?
I recall that that was a point of conversation in one of the early meetings we had with them when we actually went to Indiana a couple years ago to see. And I don't recall if anybody in Illinois has looked at that yet.
Okay.
So, oh, I know that we've been cold called from other telecommunications companies that are laying backbone fiber in the area, inquiring if we're interested, but at this point we haven't. So,
okay.
There was another point I was going to make about their build-out. Oh, build-out has went smoother in each town as it's progressed. Nothing major, but, I mean, this requires a full cable line to be dropped basically at every house within that area. The pedestals and the infrastructure are less obtrusive than Comcast's are for the time being. There's a lot of, like, ground flush pedestals that are actually buried, and they try their best to put the pedestals, you know, behind shrubbery, but this is digging up somebody's side yard, potentially, backyard, potentially, and almost always the front yard, and so just landscape restoration in the areas will be a huge deal whenever they actually decide to start construction. So it could be this year, it could be next year.
Nick boring it, right?
Well, they try to, yes.
So they're going to try to do directional boring for yes. the majority of it. Obviously, you know, when I saw them down on Mill Road, they were doing aerial.
Yes,
but that's probably, you know, the spine going through there. But they, you know, you come in here to some of the in-town areas, they can probably attach to the poles.
Yes.
It's cheaper.
Yep.
Well, like my neighborhood, everything's underground. They'll have rights to the public right-of-way and all utility easements.
Correct.
And then directional, well, they can do whatever they want to the house. I've had it done both ways when Comcast has replaced. They've
yeah.
bored it and they've actually trenched it.
Oof.
Will they be in MetroNet be able to provide some type of photos or graphics that illustrate
yep.
the types of pedestals, their processes,
yep.
so that if the community asks, what are they going to do and then how are they going to
yep.
restore it?
They have a really good outreach program now that's become a lot more intense in Illinois than it was in Indiana, where they do door knockers, they do multiple mailings, they make sure that they partner with municipalities to have information on the website so we can include it in our newsletter that shows what everything looks like, when they think they're going to be in the area. You know, obviously they want to do that for marketing purposes too, but it also helps just to have a general awareness of construction crews being in your area. So they've expanded their outreach pretty significantly.
So I would assume they have a PR person dedicated to the territory as well as a construction manager, you know, for process.
Yes.
Okay.
And they in Illinois, they've been using a combination of local contractors, but also regional contractors that have moved from town to town as they've built. So somebody that's more familiar with the area, that's done it a couple times, and so hopefully issues are somewhat mitigated. So.
Okay.
Or not.
When they came in, did they, and I can't remember, did she talk, is this like a comparable to your... for the customer price-wise?
Yes.
To like Comcast.
Almost cheaper.
Yeah, I don't
that's,
think
okay.
she
I thought she said
yeah.
I thought that she said that.
She said kind of a range, but it's an a la carte, and it's monthly. It's non-contract-based. So that was the big part, is it's a,
yeah.
you know, you can come in. If you want to try it for a couple months, you can try it.
Right.
Now, I would assume if they're laying cable directly to somebody or a certain area, there might be some fees that they can put you on the hook for.
Sure.
Once, you know, if you're initially getting the install.
Yeah, it's reasonable cost if it's outside of the service area or if there's some extraordinary issue with a long service line.
Mm-hmm. But, well, bring it on. See what happens.
Okay. So we don't have to do anything because it's going to be public
hearing.
Public hearing?
Yep.
So we're good with that. All right. Anything else on that? Are we good? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to admin 2018-16, goal 19, the public relations and outreach discussion.
This was brought up by Alderman Frieders to look into the community relations manager pass position that was here at the city. So we looked at the goal, which was goal number 19 of 20 this year for public relations outreach, and we just expanded upon it a little bit, and we wanted to let you all know where we are at with accomplishing this goal. So since the review and approval of the city action plans, we've done several things. We've closed out the city services survey, which launched last fall. We closed it out last week, and we expect to get a presentation sometime this spring, hopefully next month. before you to analyze the results of that. We're also working on public relations / press release training. We have a proposal in front of us right now. We'll probably choose 10 to 12 staff members from City of Yorkville, and we're also looking at partnering with Oswego and Montgomery on this training as well, to do extensive training with those staff members to know how to do press releases, point of contact, POI, so that we make sure that we have one voice speaking, you know, to the greater community. We're also doing the Yorkville Minute, which is our new newsletter. It's an electronic newsletter. The first edition was published on February 1st. The second was on February 15th. We're looking at that bi-monthly, twice a month. And bi-monthly is an odd way to say it. But it will be a twice-a-month electronic newsletter up on our website, social media, and then email directly. And then our Coffee with the Council event will continue to go on. We did one last year at the first farmer's market, which was very successful. So we're hoping to do it again in the rain. So we're hoping to do it again this year, and also at Hometown Days. And then in the fall, we're going to do the national event, which is the Coffee with a Cop, at several locations throughout the city as well. So we're just looking for any additional feedback that you'd like to provide staff with on this action plan.
Sounds good.
I think that is good.
If Joel had more to add, he could have been here.
Yeah, this is number 19 of 21 of our goals.
Yeah. Not
consensus wise, the council, we were all on board, same place there. We've not filled that position for a purpose. And I think it's great that the staff is trying to get on board all together and work this. I mean, Parks and Rec's done a really, really good job. I would like to see Public Works step up a little bit in this role. Yeah. I know it's going to be hard for them. It's not their nature. But, you know, I think each department's been stepping up and doing a good job. So, I think that'll work.
Okay. So, hey, thank you for providing all that information.
You're welcome. I had anticipated such a reaction. After I saw the email, I think I said the same thing. I said, oh, boy, that's...
I didn't even answer the email.
That's okay today. Yeah.
So tonight I'm going to walk you through two buildings. One is the historic jail, and one is the Beecher Center concession stand. This is a repeat from last two of you, but we'll get through it here.
We wanted to skip this. I mean, I don't think anybody on staff would complain.
Or if you... Yeah,
he was.
It's completely up to the members here. If you are able to read it, if you
have
questions.
Well, half of us saw it, so...
Yeah.
It's fine. It's this thing, right?
Would you want him to do it in 2 minutes?
Truck it, 2 minutes.
No,
it's Twitter version.
Yes. So... Right. On the jail, there's several issues. One being that EMG was not allowed in most of the building, and that they are recommending a structural study be done and also a mold remediation report be completed because of the water damage in a lot of the building. So, with that being said, it's in poor shape. There's several items. The immediate repair total is $131, but then again, that's just paying for those studies. It doesn't pay for the repairs to be completed.
So these are just
the known repairs that are visual where they were able to get in. Correct. Okay. Yes. So that's why it's a lower number.
Yep.
Once again, here's the mold and the structural study recommendation for the escalated cost over 20 years to be $144, which once again isn't realistic because they don't know until you get those studies done for an accurate number for this building. Building condition summary reports an FCI here that we're looking at 10-year for a poor current year, and then also a good because the replacement value is so low. So it's a skewed number just because we don't know the extent of the damage to this building.
No, is it the replacement value so high because it's technically it's a jail? It would never be used as a jail.
It's based on a square footage average for historical buildings.
Oh, okay.
And the gross square footage simply.
Okay.
And so the garage is a pretty pretty large footprint.
Here are just some fun photos of the inside.
Turn this off. Wait, see it a little better.
I'm still trying to figure out what this water means. Like, what are we looking at? Is that a wall?
That
and the roof?
So this, I believe, is a...
That looks like a...
This is a ceiling. I think they had to sneak in and just kind of snap it.
That's the hallway immediately east or to the right of the garage door. So there's that white in that upper left picture. There's that white door right there. Mm-hmm. I think it's that corridor. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it myself, but based on the descriptions.
So here's Beecher. Here's a beautiful building, concession stand. Very little immediate repair cost. Biggest expense would be the roof and the kitchen appliances. You have the capital needs being at $62,000. It's a higher replacement value because of the appliances in the interior and the bathroom facilities. Pictures, it's in really good shape. The 10-year FCI is good. The current year is poor just based on the replacement reserves and the immediate repairs. Staff recommendations for both locations is the Beecher concession stand. We recommend that we continue to maintain it. It gets a lot of use. It's in a great location, so we're happy to put forward dollars to maintain it in a good condition. And then the old historic jail, we're looking for further direction. It doesn't have an immediate planned use. However, if we were to repair the building, the repairs would be TIC eligible. The unique thing about this location, we talked a little bit about it last night, is to make it a partnership with another entity to rehab and, you know, a incubator, business incubator was brought up last night. Some office spaces may be able to be used in there, but at the costs that we're looking at to rehab, staff is unsure if we should move forward.
Is the 131 to take off the new section or just stabilize
it?
No,
it's just to repair and do the reports. To repair the areas that they were able to see, and then to conduct the structural report and the mold report.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
The structural was 25 and the mold was 10.
I'm guessing you're talking another $300,000 to $500,000
to
actually do it.
Yeah.
Because that would be my guess. By the time you remove the other, divorced everything.
Yep.
Say we lease it out for $1. Have we thought about removing those stairs? Just because they're decrepit and...
The exterior stairs?
Yes. Because nobody goes in it anyways.
Right here?
On the other side, the south stairs. Are those inside or outside?
They are inside.
Oh, these are interior. Yes.
Oh, never mind.
I don't know that they're deteriorated as much as they are dirty. I think that's like
insulation that fell on them.
Yeah, it looks like that.
I thought that was outside and that was rust.
No,
that's
probably insulation.
What, like 2-3 summers ago? And when you go from the old section to the new, that's where the problem starts.
Yes.
Like, you just feel, it's like kind of bog. Yeah. And it's like, there was growth of grassy looking.
Was it mentioned before, this is we call it historical jail, but is it, has it been certified historical?
It's not on the historic register.
So we could care less if it knocked it down and put something else there.
There is nothing preventing us from doing so, no.
Not even the way we got.
How attached are people to this?
There is a segment of the community that's very attached to it, simply because it's one of two. Chris has actually got the other one pulled up. It's Clay County in southern Illinois. There's an exact replica of this model, so the architect must have used the plans a couple different times.
Did anything significant ever happen to this building?
Okay. That's what it looks like in good condition.
It's really terrible.
It's a unique old sheriff's residence and jail from the 1800s. And so when the county wanted to tear it down 25 years ago, there was a pretty big uproar and people tried to save it. And then it got mothballed until eventually the city figured out a way to buy it from the county and did so.
It's an awesome problem. And
Alex, yes. When we were talking last night, I kind of remember when they were talking. She might not even be alive. I mean, she's up there in age. They look to make it a historic building, but the problem is that new addition.
Right. Needs to come off.
It has to come off before we can even get it declared historic.
Gotcha.
They looked into it, and that was holding it back, if we recall correctly.
Yeah.
I kind of remember discussing that.
Anybody looked into, if we rehabbed it, making it something along the lines like, I mean, obviously in a way smaller scale, but like an 8% of the place, where you would make it something, an attraction where people can go and walk through and get an education about what, historic education about the city, the building itself, whatever, whatever.
Sure. So the original grant from the state for a portion of the purchase was contemplated to be a museum. There was never a business plan put together for the museum, and I think that we had contemplated pretty limited hours after we had rehabbed the building. And then the recession hit, and volunteers basically walked away from the building, and the city didn't have any figures to do it. So it's not something that we ever saw as a significant economic generator, and it's a much smaller footprint and overall right. impact than Napier Settlement. So, you know, it has never been a priority from the city council to say, let's dedicate efforts and resources to trying to figure that out. Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that we can't work with the county because they have the historic courthouse, which is a great building. You have this right there. It'd be a great campus-type setting.
Sure.
They have a museum in there. I mean, it would be ideal.
That's kind of what I would like to see done to it. But
like a new museum?
Yeah. And I'd love to drive down to the one down there and look at it and see how they, because that's what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be
but
awesome.
But I was even thinking of, without the city, is to see if you could get like a Save the Jail group together. You know, like kind of get Built the Path, something like that.
I mean, yeah, they built the path.
They built the path.
Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody needs to get on GoFundMe or something.
Something. And, you know, that way
you
it's
might
not,
know somebody.
You know,
you might know somebody.
Yeah.
What would be the cost to
maybe I'll talk to him at 2:30 tomorrow morning.
Oh, he's on.
The entire thing.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
What would be? Do we have the cost? It would be to rehab the entire thing.
We don't have a full estimate.
I'm guessing $300,000 to $500,000 more.
Beyond what?
Yeah, beyond that 144.
So we're over a million.
I mean, some of the floors.
Half a mil.
Yeah.
Probably half to three quarter of a mile away, start to finish.
The building, when I was in it, was okay. I mean, it needs, like, the cells aren't that, the paint's peeling.
The roof is
like
bad,
that.
The facade the is bad, the
but
newer
the floors in that part weren't bad, it's when you went into
right.
the addition. It went down.
Can we go, I mean, it's closed. You can't go in, right?
No.
Correct.
Yeah, Pete and I went in over.
He would not advise anybody but, to go in anymore.
Yeah,
even with Scott
Morris.
Yeah.
Right.
It was scary, though.
Yeah.
And that's at least 2 summers ago. Yeah.
What, you want somebody at least open the door for you?
Oh, I'd love to go check it out.
You might be able to see a portion of it if you're interested.
Yeah.
We stayed in the old portion, and he wouldn't go in the other.
Right.
So we didn't go into the new section.
I mean, if they don't let
we got up to where
you won't, if you restricted me from going places, no problem. I'd go everywhere.
Well, he did offer to take me up to the attic, but he thought there were critters there. I said, no.
There's a haunted house there once. It was cool. But that was, what, shoot, probably 10 years ago now?
Oh, gosh.
How big is that? Parcel?
I want to say it's more than an acre, including the parking lot that we had purchased. So just the footprint of the building is maybe half.
If the new section was gone, could that add on to the park? I'm trying to picture it over there.
Could it add on to the parking lot?
No,
you
could.
No.
It would have to be the upper parking
lot.
You'd have to have a 2-level.
Yeah. The county would have one parking.
Like 12-foot.
It would help them up.
Right.
Yeah, you could. What we found even with the lower portion is the cost per space is just very much higher than industry standards. So, you know, for the same price, we could probably buy a house across the street, tear it down, and put in double the amount of parking spaces for the same price. So it would never be something that we would recommend a parking garage on top of, or to tear down the building and make it even a surface parking up above. It's so just
if the building was gone, we just end up with an empty lot.
Yeah. Yeah, trees, maybe some landscaping, sidewalks. But.
So you have to look at, do you have an empty lot, or, you know, do we find a way to... Well,
the county has the parcel right next to us.
Well, my thought
was
if
a flat parcel.
Tore it down, and you could put another park in or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Maybe a significant park, not just some little, but a nice, you know, like, hey, we're getting rid of this old jail that some people have an attachment to, but let's put up this really nice park.
Sure.
Not just a normal one that we normally do, but twice the size.
Yeah.
Make it a place where people come and, you know,
yeah,
drive from Autumn Creek downtown to in that area to go to that
well,
specific
something
park.
You have to think of, too, is we now have behind my house there, that property up there, which would also be...
Yep. Zipline across the two.
Zipline across 47. There you go.
There you go.
So, you know, I don't know if you want two parks in there. I mean, the stuff, you already got a path up into, you know, on the hill.
Sure. Yeah, there could be components of each. You know, I don't think that there's anything planned for a neighborhood park within those regions. Tim's actually here, so he might know off the top of his head. But.
Well, I mean, it's just, you just spend a significant amount of money to put a regional park and playground in the downtown area with Riverfront.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
I don't know if adding another one. And I think the bigger issue is like, if you added one there, it's, people are going to want to go back and forth. How are you going to get up across 47?
Zipline.
Right.
Yeah.
From Jackie's
bridge.
We need one of those bridges.
Yeah.
Walking
it can't
bridge.
Be. Too bad.
It is a quarter acre.
It's a quarter acre.
Huh.
So
such that, space is
real. The Olson property next to it is actually a 3/4 acre. That's a large tract of land. I mean, that's a good deal of parking if the county wants to do parking on their piece. So it's not like...
Yeah, I would suggest if you were to do something like a park is tied in, if we
yeah, the
landscaping, and they get that whole, mm-hmm, or you park and you kind of have a walking thing or something like that.
Yeah,
because
that might be something. Maybe if we were to choose to, you know, raise the building, maybe we could do a little bit of a land swap with the county,
yeah,
and get more frontage. You know, if we raise it, those foundation blocks would save a lot of money for us on our retaining wall out on 47. Those are some big blocks. That's a lot of them too. We could rehab some of it or reuse some of that.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, but for me, it's, I don't personally like to see empty, crappy buildings in any town. I mean, it makes it look crappy.
And it's a nice area. It's becoming worse, just as we said.
So something needs to be done. I don't know what the answer is, but.
Yeah, let's do something.
We did put it up for sale a couple years ago. We didn't have any offers on it. You could try that again. You could propose to demolish it with a fairly long lead-in time to give community groups a chance to, you know, form and see if they can come up with a better option. It's just, since there isn't an existing use, there hasn't been a real big push in that area. There's no safety issues.
Like,
we haven't...
You know, how can we just put it out there to see if there's an interest of, like, say, the jail?
Well, I think it would be to communicate to the community as a an entire city council that we are open to getting rid of the building. So, you know, if that's a recommendation of this committee, I would say, you know, put it on city council. You know, you could even say we're going to do it for, I don't know, 4 readings or something and do it over a couple months. You know, and so just talking about it naturally will get into the newspaper and might generate some interest on it. So that'd be my recommendation.
To see what interest it would generate. If no one has any interest in it anymore.
Sure. Is that something you want to talk about at city council? You want to bring back a couple of proposals for last month? Maybe we can review what we did 3-4 years ago to see if anything needs to be updated there.
Any suggestions?
Just blanket it on an agenda for a couple times as a reading. As I mean, maybe not tear it down, but what to do with it.
Yes,
look for public comment or whatever, nobody comes on. But I guarantee you, if you put it out there that it's getting flattened or whatever, hopefully people will come. But if not,
well, we have to put it out there that, you know,
right,
it's fine if you want to come, but bring ideas or
right,
cash your
yeah,
checkbook.
That's all, like,
checkbook. Right. Right. Right.
We understand everybody wants to save a building. That's great.
Yeah.
But we have to have a plan.
Right.
We have to have money. We can't just
right,
have good hopes
right,
and prayers that
right,
it's going
right,
to be.
Yeah, I mean, you could put it out for okay, RFP for sale, but sale and development, similar costs. We go to
mm-hmm,
the downtown.
Probably.
Say, like, we're open
yeah,
to selling it, but we want to see what you can do.
Yeah.
Another item to consider is that we are in the process of hiring a facilities manager. So they may have past experience with raising buildings or different uses of historical buildings to looks like we're going to get them on staff April, hopefully. So,
what are your thoughts of leasing it out for like 90 years if you redo it?
I think that's a reasonable solution.
I'm
yeah,
just concerned. If you go in there, it's like it saps your imagination. What you can do with that? Because like where the jail is, that's like it's all metal. It's
would have made a cool wine store until they saturated
yeah,
it downtown.
That really would with the old cell.
But yeah, but there's
I
already
mean, in there
a handful
like,
of bars and stuff
like,
down there anyway.
What could you do with it? And it's just mind-boggling, just because it's a so unique mm-hmm, setup. So you need someone
studio
with like, really good imagination for something.
Definitely told her to me.
He listened. You want to flatten it?
Be a nice brewery.
Always kept
up.
Or,
yeah, I. You know, I was
actually, it was put on the historic register in the '70s.
Okay.
So it's been on there for a while. They've
yeah, like already five bars down there. We need one more.
I saw that one pulling this
bars.
Brewery.
Sophistication.
I mean, I'm looking.
Me and you can't
in a cigar shop.
They have like their quintessential
and outside
a great downtown. That's,
very,
you know, 100 years
square.
Yeah,
courthouse.
It's right across from the town square. There's a fire station. You got your
so
old blocks.
Yeah.
Quintessential
yeah,
small town downtown.
Right.
What we would have had if that wasn't on a hill next to a highway.
Yeah. And a bluff over there.
Our downtown
was yeah.
They, you know, the people that started Yorkville really would dumb.
You mean the boroughs or
no, I mean, in that area that they, so I mean, I'm talking hundreds of years ago. That I know they never thought 47, but think of like Plano that where they just like went in a block off the main.
Yeah.
47 was still a main thoroughfare back then. You'd think they could have did like Van Emmon.
Well, wasn't it Bristol?
Like that.
It was
we would have had a nice
right,
town. That's
so,
what I meant. They,
yeah,
it was poor. It was
no,
dumb planning. You know, like 100 a year. But, you know, you would.
Yeah, wait, they split it, went to stay on one side or the other.
Yeah, like, you know, you go to Sandwich or play, they're in that, well, they went by the, they went along the railroad line.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, yeah, they had probably all figured that Van Emmon was actually going to become a...
And technically,
ship.
So did they here.
Well, didn't the trolleys go down Van Emmon?
It did.
It did.
So it's a, you know, if you think of it, what were you thinking if you didn't develop that way? Would have made it a whole different look down there.
It was a north versus south.
But it really only got developed just on one street.
Yeah, it's only one
yeah,
block.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it gives us, it
perplexes
us.
So what do we do with this? What do we do with this thing?
I say we put it on the agenda as a discussion item.
Mm-hmm.
Or and do a couple readings of it, maybe an email blast, and see if we get anybody
yeah,
up.
And maybe can we do that, like a Facebook thing, that, hey, this is going to be on the agenda.
So
get to see if there are people.
So trying to boil it down then into that. I mean, is everybody here okay with selling it or repurposing it, and or even potentially demolishing it? So doing movement that is apart from turning it into a rehab city historical building.
Oh yes,
yeah.
You're open.
I'm okay.
You're open.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not so much to tearing down.
I was just going to say, I'd like to steer away from that.
Okay.
I mean, put it out there. This is a consideration.
Yeah.
However, the intent would be to try to preserve in public-private partnership or 99-year lease something that has minimal capital for the city.
Fundraising ideas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would rather see like a business lease it from us and do something with it than actually become a museum. Then it's just.
Because what are we going to do with it?
Right.
We don't.
Obviously nothing. We have it for years.
Of this size. If it was a 50,000 square foot building, then we could put all of our city services in, that'd be plenty.
Right.
Right. Art's office would have fit up top there.
So, yeah, we can put it on the agenda for next week and just see if everybody else is okay with maybe preparing a, like an RFQ or an RFP, or RFI, one of those RF, for a future committee agenda to repurpose it or sell it.
RFH, request for help.
There you go.
So does that work for everybody? We'll just take it there and see what everybody thinks.
Right.
So 227 admin report, and there won't be any packet information other than probably the, you know, the presentation and then maybe just the conversation. And then we'll peg it for the March admin agenda for some sort of discussion.
Is there a way to tie that in with our Facebook just to get people, you know, we do post for the meetings.
We usually don't get into the agenda items just because people usually aren't that interested. I would anticipate that the papers would pick it up, but we're doing that downtown plan, so maybe there's a question or two that can be inserted into the downtown Yorkville website that could talk about this.
Okay. Alrighty. Any additional business?
Whatever happened with the RPGs? Did we ever get find out why they kept showing up?
On these reports?
Yeah.
I chatted with them after the last meeting, and they inserted into every because they are not doing the testing.
Oh, okay.
So they don't know if it works or not.
They put it in there because then it's not their liability.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That makes sense.
So if it's not in working order, then by state law we must get
right,
in
yeah,
working order.
That makes more sense for it. Yeah.
Right, because I'm like, wait a second, they can't be
why is
all
it,
bad.
Why is every single one
when,
of them
right, not, showing up?
Yeah, because that was the same thing with the RPGs, the fire systems,
right.
The whole.
Okay, so they just put in their report, so then...
CYA.
Because they're not checking the systems
right,
to make sure that
like,
it's in working order.
Not our,
but they are observing that it's present.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, anything else? Alright, it's 6:57 and let's adjourn the meeting.